Foundations Lesson Number 2, Prayer. Addendum, Practices and Principles of Prayer, Part 2. Next on the addendum outline, we read that prayer should be in harmony with the will of God. 1 John 5:14 through 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." John 15:7, Jesus is speaking. He says, "If you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." We understand from Scripture that God is perfect in all His ways. Therefore, there's no possible way to improve on what He does. His will, His desires, His plans for us are also perfect. So it certainly makes sense to pray for things in accordance with God's will. That really is best. But if you or I don't know what the will of God is in a certain matter, I believe it's best to pray what's on our hearts and let God sort it out. He is, after all, fully capable of doing that. Here's why I give that advice. Over the years, I've heard many children ask their earthly fathers for things that weren't in accordance with what that father wanted or thought best. But I can't remember a single occasion when a father scolded or corrected his son or daughter for asking something that wasn't in accordance with his will. The father simply didn't grant the request, usually with a short explanation. Our Father in heaven is the perfect Father. If we pray for some boneheaded request, and I'll admit that I have over the years probably lifted many, many such requests up to the Father, God is perfectly comfortable in denying such a request. He does what's best in every situation, even if our request is way off. I say all that for three reasons. First, some believers get really uptight about wanting to make sure that everything they and others pray aligns with the will of God. In my opinion, that's not something to get upset about. God is large and He's in charge. He's more than able to handle good requests as well as not so good requests. Secondly, there are times, not always, that I've heard people pray, "If it be Your will," and the main thing it accomplished was to put a damper on their faith, which hindered their prayer more than helped it. Thirdly, it's good for us to have a deep confidence in God that He really will do what's best every time, without fail. God sees and knows what's in our hearts. If we have a great faith, a strong conviction in our hearts that God will never fail to do what's best, He's very pleased with our belief and our confidence in Him. That leads us into the next principle of prayer on the addendum outline, confidence. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We can and should be very confident in the great love God has for us, and therefore also in our position as a son or daughter before Him. Jesus told us that our Father in heaven has been pleased to give us the kingdom. The Bible also instructs us that we should pray in the Holy Spirit, Jude 20. "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit," Ephesians 6:18. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." 1 Corinthians 14:14 through 15 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind." In Africa, a minister was preaching in a large crusade. During the night, he woke up in tears. As he began to pray, he heard himself saying a strange name over and over again. The pain he suffered was intense as he continued his prayer. After several hours, the burden lifted and the intercession was complete. The next day, the newspapers told a strange story. During the night, a Christian village had been massacred. The name of the village was the same name that the minister had been weeping over the night before. Christ suffered the pain of his people, but he was able to find someone willing to share in his suffering and intercede in the Spirit. I believe we do our best praying when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. This leads us into the next point on the addendum outline, that of being a good listener in prayer. Prayer has never been designed to be only a one-way communication. Think of human conversation for a moment. I imagine we've all witnessed someone talking to a friend and going on and on and on, not being mindful of the friend's body language and facial expressions that were very clearly communicating either boredom or fatigue and being bombarded with relentless words. In the human realm, we call that kind of talking insensitive. The solution to the problem is that as we talk, we can be so attentive to and mindful of the nonverbal communication of those we're speaking to that we know when it's time to quit or to ask a question. Prayer is very similar. It's possible for us to be so passionate, so focused on the request we're bringing before the Lord that we become insensitive to the Lord Himself. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." I've found over the years that those believers who are sensitive in their human conversations also tend to exhibit sensitivity in their conversations with the Almighty. And those believers who are often insensitive in their human conversations have the capacity to make a real mess out of prayer meetings. I find that encouraging because that means that a big part of the solution to the problem of being insensitive to the Lord has to do with learning to be sensitive to people. If we see the people around us as highly valuable and important because, after all, they've been created in the very image and likeness of the Most High God, and if we in humility consider others better than ourselves, Philippians 2:3, we'll have a great start in becoming more sensitive in conversation, both with humans and with God. Revelation 2:29 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Then our outline gives the next principle of prayer as praying in secret. Leonard Ravenhill has said that the secret of praying is praying in secret. Although it's not wrong to let someone know that we're praying for them, if that information will encourage and strengthen them, we should have an attitude that's so selfless that it doesn't matter to us if anyone knows that we're praying for them or not. Many years ago, I spent a summer working with 6 musicians. God gave me one specific burden to pray about for each of them. I prayed for those 6 situations daily without telling the musicians what I was doing. The following summer, when I returned to that area, 4 of the 6 requests had been powerfully answered by the Lord. I'm fully convinced that the Lord eventually answered the other 2 requests also in His time. To my surprise, I found great joy in learning the specifics of what God had done. I can testify that it really is wonderfully delicious to see what God accomplishes in answer to our prayers in secret. It truly is more blessed to give than to receive, even in prayer. Matthew 6:6, Jesus is speaking, He says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." When Jesus tells us to close the door, I believe that can also refer to our need to block out distractions. Before you go to prayer, you might want to turn off your phone, set yourself to focus only on the Lord, and deal with whatever other matters might tempt you to take your mind and heart off the Almighty. I've heard one preacher say that when it comes to our time with the Lord in prayer, God detests multitasking. God is worthy of our undivided attention. We also see in Scripture that it's best to spend at least some time in prayer early in the day. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Matthew 6, 9-11, Jesus is speaking. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. So here we have both the example and the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ exhorting us to pray early. After all, it makes no sense to pray, give us today our daily bread, at bedtime after we've had our meals. Such a prayer must be prayed in the morning in order to have effect. Now, I realize some people are much more alert at night than they are in the morning. The general rule is to give God your best time. However, I'd also add that spending at least some time with God first thing in the morning is the best way to start off the day. As one preacher has said, you'll never put God first in your life until you put him first in your day. There's a poem that's meant a lot to me over the years. It goes like this. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and the heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Then Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. If the very Son of God needed to pray often, how much more do we? Time spent seeking God and communing with God is never wasted. Again, no one has ever sought God in vain. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. For us to engage in any activity continually, we'd have to be doing it while eating, holding conversations, doing work, etc. In light of that necessity, praying continually seems to emphasize being aware of God's presence and somehow from the heart, reaching out to Him and interacting with Him, or, simply put, communing with Him. Doing that is possible while we're performing all kinds of other necessary tasks. So we have two distinct types of prayer. We can pray when that's the only activity we're involved in. Or we could pray secondarily while doing something else. Both kinds of prayer are valid. While we're working, driving, playing, talking, or doing anything else, it's also possible to be praying or communing with God. However, we have to be careful to be spending enough time focusing exclusively upon the Lord. Some time ago, there was a man I was trying to help prepare for ministry. I challenged him to be spending at least 30 minutes a day in Bible reading and 30 minutes a day in prayer. I asked him how his prayer life was going. He told me that he was indeed spending 30 minutes every day in prayer. But when I asked for specifics, he said that the 30 minutes were in his car while he was driving to work. So I told him that his actions were communicating powerfully to the Lord. What they were telling God was that he wasn't all that significant, that he was okay as a life enhancement tool, but that he wasn't worthy, he wasn't important enough to be focusing on exclusively. The man got my point. The next time we met, he told me that he was spending 30 minutes a day in prayer only. Let's remember, God is a great king. He's worthy of being treated in accordance with his greatness. That includes our undivided attention. So if you want to spend time seeking God while you're driving to work, I think that's wonderful, so long as you do that in addition to your time seeking God exclusively. Amen. God bless you all.